This message entitled Just Repent was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on Easter Sunday, April 4th, 2021, by Jim France. The scripture reference is Acts chapter 2.
Okay, Acts chapter 2. I do have a title. It actually came to me when I was all done because I didn't really know. It's called in the line of just do it or just say no or whatever. This is just repent. Boom, done. Just repent is the scripture is my. So I'm going to read here Acts chapter 2. I'll just read the whole chapter because it just kind of follows along. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. Like that. Cloven tongues. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these men which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, and the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these men are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it appeared, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaid I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever, I lost my place, shall be saved. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did, so he did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be holden of it. For David, speaking concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue be glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried and in his sepulcher, and is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God was sworn with an oath to him that of the fruits of his loin, according to the flesh, he would raise up Jesus, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And seeing this before, spake of his of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul shall not be left in hell, neither his flesh did see a corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father, received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath said, shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make the foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify, exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily that such as should be saved. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, dear Lord, for your truth has been preserved for us today. We thank you, dear God, for its newness every day. We thank you, dear God, for the Spirit which moves on our hearts, which opens our heart to these words, to the meaning of them, and to what you want to say to us today. And we pray you would fulfill that in this place today. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay. As I said, I've titled this, Just Repent. It's the first sermon that we've seen here, the first sermon of the new church. This was the day, as we call it, the day of Pentecost. We look back to it, and we know it was when the church of Jesus Christ started. This was day one. Roy probably remembers his first sermon. This was the first sermon in the church of Jesus Christ, right here, from the first preacher, Peter. When he stood up, he became the first preacher. And I think we can go back to that and see an example, a foundation that was laid for the preaching that's to follow Peter on this day. He set a good example. First, he starts out by defending the pouring out of the Spirit against the accusations that they were drunk. Okay, and I want to stop here for 1 minute because one thing hit me on this. Friday night, we were reading something from the front of the new Bibles, and it talked about how the writers of that knew that they called them the popish people. In other words, the Catholics were going to come against this translation because they don't want it in our language. They wanted it in Latin. Well, that goes way back. Roy talked about Wycliffe in the 1300s, translated the Bible. He was burned and martyred because he translated the Bible into everyday language. The very first thing God did was put the Bible into everybody's language that was there. He wants us to hear it. Mm-hmm. And to go out and say, no, we have to keep it in Latin, it's pure language, and then you have to come to us. It's totally wrong. The example was set here on day one. It's in everybody's language, and that should never end. We should get the Bible into everybody's language. That hasn't stopped. I just wanted to say that. So he says that that they weren't drunk because it's the third hour, which is 9 in the morning, which is, you know, it's right in about this time. It's 9:05. So it's that same time in the morning. And the Matthew Henry said that in the Jewish law in the Old Testament, in holy days, high holy days and Sabbaths, they didn't eat and drink before 9 o'clock. It was they fasted till then on those days. This was the start of this was the week of the Feast of Weeks, as we call Pentecost. It was a Jewish holiday. I mean, we look at it as Pentecost, the beginning of the church. They were there celebrating the Feast of Weeks, which was a celebration of the harvest. The harvest. The first harvest. The first, you get where this is? This started on the day when they were celebrating the harvest. You see where we're going? Mm-hmm. It was a time to give God the glory for the harvest, a time of joy and offering the first fruits. And we're going to see that right away here. We're going to see the first fruits. But back to the charge of drunkenness. And I just mentioned that Matthew Henry said that they wouldn't have been eating and drinking before 9 o'clock anyways. It's what they did. They wouldn't have been drunk. Once he defended what God was doing, he immediately set forth an example for preaching. Yes, Peter was full of the Holy Ghost, but Peter standing up in the 11, and he defended the gospel, he defended the Holy Spirit, and then in verse 16, what did he do? But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He went to the Word of God. That should never be separate from in our church. Our churches should be full of the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit, but it's the Word of God. It should always be present. Roy's talked about churches that said, forget the Old Testament, forget the Word. We got a new thing going here. Peter didn't think so. Peter didn't think so. He went right back to the Word of God almost immediately and brought up the prophet Joel. Remember the prophets who in the Old Testament, they were martyred. They were killed. The same prophets that you killed, and we're going back and we're going to listen to what they said. And the Word of God is precious. Now, they didn't have this half the Bible. They didn't have the New Testament. It was being written on this day. But they had the Old, and he still went back to it right on day one, and that should be an example. It should be a foundational truth in every church in America is the Spirit and the truth. And the truth is the Word of God. He didn't set it aside. He defends what the Holy Spirit is doing and the prophets, what they say. And what is the most important, the Spirit is poured out on all men. All men. It ain't just for the hierarchy anymore. It's for all men. Now, Jewish scholars taught that the Spirit was only for the wise and the rich, such as were descendants of Israel. God will have none of that. So we have this foundation set in the very first sermon. You know, mine says Peter's Pentecostal sermon. It could say just the first sermon of the new church. And now we have a foundation set. The foundation is set forth in the Spirit and the truth, which is Scripture. But let's go on to verse 22, and skipping ahead here a little bit. And so he defended all this, and now it comes to verse 22, and he gets down to, as I wrote here, the nuts and the bolts. Let's get down to brass tacks. Let's see what we're here for. And he starts it out, ye men of Israel, I'm speaking to you guys, okay? And I'm speaking to you guys, and I'm speaking to me. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did so him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Listen up, hear ye. It's time to pay attention. Jesus of Nazareth, he reminds them of the miracles Christ did amongst them, and they remember them. That was news everywhere. That was CNN, that was Fox News, that was all the news channels. Jesus done something in Canaan. He turned the water into wine. He fed 5,000. He fed 4,000. He walked on water. this was news. They all knew. This is a small community. Israel's no bigger than Jersey. You know, it's a small, and everybody knew it. And this stuff was noised abroad. The Bible says that many times over. Many gathered when Christ, they wanted to see the miracles. And they all knew about this. And God's, and Peter's reminding them of what all he did. And it could only have been done through, by God empowering him. By God doing this through him. He's the only one. And even the Jews themselves, even the Pharisees acknowledged that many times. That if this guy is from God, he's the only one who can raise people from the dead when Lazarus was raised. They knew that. So he wants to remind them that. He knew that Christ did him, but it was God doing it through him. God did it. You saw it. Case closed. You yourselves also know. So that he's bringing it to their heart. He's bringing it to their heart. That you know what's going on here. It's not to be forgotten. In verse 23, I'll read that scripture. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, we're talking about Christ being delivered of God, ye have taken him, or taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. What's the key word in that scripture? It's a very small. It sets the whole thing apart. It's a foundational truth in our church today. One word, two letters. Ye. Ye. He didn't say them. He didn't say those. He didn't say the Romans. He didn't say the Pharisees. He said ye. Ye. And that sets the foundation in the church today. We have to speak the word to each and every person. And you have to take it to the heart. That ye have taken and by wicked hands, your own hands. You did this by your own wicked hands. You weren't led, you didn't do it unawares. You weren't tricked into it. You did it by your own wicked hands. When I think of that, you have no excuse. Back when I was with Landstar and we'd have safety meetings, and they'd send one of the big safety coordinators from the main office to the local terminals, and they'd always say, don't call into the safety office and say that you accidentally run into a building, but it wasn't your fault. They say, we don't want to hear that. Buildings don't move. And if you hit it, it's your fault. You know, because we were liable. If we run into a corner of a building, we had to pay for it. And they had to pay for it. So they said, don't call up here and say, if you hit an inanimate object and it wasn't your fault, we don't want to hear about it. Because it doesn't move. So you're the only one moving. This is what Christ is telling them there. You did it by your own wicked hands. We don't want to hear no excuses. It was your hands that did it. And I know they weren't driving the nails in, but it was their hands that drove them. Their hands that caused it. And we're all guilty, every one of us. We sang the song Friday night. Were you there? Well, yes, you were. And yes, I was. We were there. And we were just as guilty as everyone else. Okay. Their own wicked hands, their fingerprints were on it. You know, the crime scene today, what's the first thing they do? They look for the fingerprints. If there's a murder weapon and your fingerprints are on it, you're going to have a hard time getting out of that because it's your fingerprints. And your fingerprints were on the crucifixion and mine too. So, sin has to be exposed. Nobody wants to do it. And nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. But this, remember, is the first sermon. It's the first sermon. And God has sent a precedent. Peter has set a precedent that ye sins have to be exposed. That's why he used the word ye. He didn't push it off, blame it on somebody else. We have that set forth right for it. And in the course of the law, if you hear of a trial, they always talk about precedent. They'll go back in the law and they'll see, was there a case that was like this? And how did it come out? That sets precedent. It precedes this. And this here sermon sets precedent. It says this should be in the sermons today. It should be preached today that ye sins, your sins, our sins, not somebody else's. He set precedent. So we have the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, The first thing that happened, the tongues come upon the church, upon Peter. We have the word being brought forth. His second verse he preached, went back to Joel, went back to the word. And the third thing he did was expose sin. If we have those three basic elements in the church today, it'll be a healthy church. Sin is exposed. But that's not the end. Because verse 24 tells us, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be holden of it. Your wicked hands did not win the day. God's miracle worker wins the day. God, the miracle worker, wins the day. And Peter goes back again to Scripture. Goes back to David, the next few verses. For David speaks concerning him. Verse 25 is exactly what it said. For David speaks concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He knew there was going to be a resurrected Lord. They had a lot of respect for David in Israel. There was when David's name was spoken, you listened, because he was the King David. He was, and Peter right away goes back to the Word of God and explains this all. All this is telling us that you're not in charge, and we're not in charge. God is in charge. We just talked about that with the kids just a few minutes ago. Everything we got, everything is from the hand of God, and it's all based in love. He does nothing out of hate. It doesn't say in my Bible that God is hate. It says God is love. And when I was in the hospital, there was a book I read. It was on the, or maybe it was at home. I got it from Alistair Begg. It was on the Puritans, different writers of the Puritans. And the one whole book that there was, so like each chapter was a different person. I don't know which one, but the whole thing was based on God's love, and everything that happens is out of God's love. Everything. I don't care what it is. We can't see it in any other way. If it's bad or if it's good, if it's done by God and if it's out of his love for you and me, he's always trying to do something. We may not see it. Why is this happening? You know, but stop right there and say, what's God wanting to see in this? It's all based in his love. He doesn't do anything because I want to get back at you. Okay? It's out of his love. And this has to be getting to this bunch. This has to be getting to this bunch, these 3,000. Tell them you put them on the cross. You crucified them. It's your doing. And God overruled it all. We don't like that. We don't like it when somebody overrules us. You know, and tells us you're nothing here. You know, I'm in charge. We don't like that. Our pride gets in the right. Okay, you're not in charge. This has to be getting to this bunch. And we're going to jump ahead to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And that's the stinger. That's the stinger. Brings it all together. That there's the word ye again, and the truth hurts. It does hurt, but it's needed. It's set forth here. And it has to be told, and we see that come right away here in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We've seen the Holy Speaker. We've seen the Holy Spirit on the preacher to embolden Peter. We have to see that as the work of the Holy Spirit. 53 days before this, he was denying he ever knew Christ. All right? And now he's standing 53. That's not a long time. It's a month and a week and a day, or 2 days, whatever. He's standing before this crowd and telling them that you put him on the cross. There's a boldness that came over Peter that he didn't have a few weeks ago. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit on Peter. Now we have the Holy Spirit's work on us. Okay, we've seen Peter, what he can do with the Holy Spirit. Now we see the Spirit poured out on the people. And remember what this was. It was the Feast of Weeks, the feast where we celebrate the new harvest. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the new harvest. This is the first harvest of the new church. 3,000 souls were harvested on that day. That had never happened before. This is the first harvest in the first church by the first preacher. It was one of the first miracles. It was one of the first miracles. We had the miracles of Christ, and they were great. I'm not putting any of that down. When did Christ add 3,000 people to his flock? Was it the 4,000 he fed or the 5,000 he fed? Where were they at Golgotha? Were they standing around praising God? They were nowhere. I'm not putting down what Christ did. The whole city of Canaan watched the miracle of the turning of the water to wine. There could have been 10,000 people there. I don't know. What else do you do in Canaan? Probably go to the wedding. You know, there's no movie theaters. There's nothing else to do. Probably the whole, I mean, that's why he needed so much. There was probably thousands of people there. They all witnessed this. Where were they at Golgotha? Where were all these people that had seen the miracles? Like I said, I'm not saying that what Christ did wasn't great, but what happened on this day was way greater. And he said it would be. Go back to John chapter 1. If you would, please. Chapter 1. First, we're going to start at 49. Chapter 1, 49. I'll wait because I hear the leaves rustling. Because I think again, Carter Conlon used to say that, or one of them. John chapter 1. Verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Now he's saying this because Christ had just told him that he knew him before he ever met him. And Nathanael said, well, how'd you know that? And he said, I seen you when you were far off, still under the fig tree or something like that. I seen you before you were even here. And Nathanael, realizing this is a miracle, says that okay, I believe because you've done this to me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. We just saw greater things than these. And Christ promised that to his church. You're going to see greater things than I ever did. And 3,000 people were added on the very first sermon by the very first preacher on the very first day, and they had to say, wow. He was right. We've been seeing greater things ever since. Yeah, I know we're not raising people from the dead. But there's stories of it. We're not hearing people come up here, you know. But there's greater miracles every day. And we see it here on day one. Okay. Is this the greater miracle? First of many. The conversion of a wicked heart is a miracle in the making every time. Every time. No matter who it is, it's a miracle. And we see the foundations, because a miracle is only something that's supernatural. Okay? That's what a miracle is. It's supernatural. It's something we can't do. Only God's hand in it can do it. Okay? It's not something that we do. Otherwise, it's not a miracle. I can fix a car. He said, oh, it's a miracle. No, I fixed a car. It's a miracle God gave me the ability to fix a car. Matt spent all night long fixing a car. Was that your ability or God showed you how to, you know, you could have sped it up a little bit. You wouldn't be working until 11 o'clock, but everything's by God's hand, right? So, all right. So bringing in a vast harvest. We see the foundations of the church being laid, bringing in a vast harvest. Is there a method? Is there a method then? First, it was the pain of feeling it in their heart, the exposing of sin. And that exposing of sin brought these men to a paralyzing place. They were pricked in the heart. And then that method causes an inquiry, what shall we do? We see these people stop dead in their tracks. They didn't know which way to turn. What shall we do? What are we supposed to do here? They were paralyzed. They don't know which way to go. They need one more thing. It's good to make people miserable in their sin, but without an answer to that, without an antidote, without a way out, you've just caused a lot of heartache. But we have good news. And what did Peter say? What was his first word out of his answer to this? Verse 38, and Peter said unto them, repent. repent. This is always hope for the troubled heart. It's now they got, what should we do? Which way should we go? Where are we going to go? Repent. What's repent? Turn around. Whatever you were doing, turn around. I don't care what you were doing. The first time you hear the message of God, turn around, because what you were doing was not what God wants you to do. So turn around, repent, and walk away from it. You don't know which way to truth, so we have a method, a formula for success, right? Spirit, truth, or the word, expose sin, a way out, repent, a way, a method. We're in a Methodist church. So it seems. So it seems we would have a method. Turn back to Acts 5:29. Acts 5, verse 29. Where are we here? Okay, where are we at? Peter, remember the first preacher, had been caught by the Pharisees, put into prison, and that night the angel showed up, unlocked the doors, led them out. Okay? The next morning, the Pharisees go to get the prisoners. The prisoners aren't there. They're gone. Where are they? They go looking for them. And they aren't where most prisoners go. Most prisoners go to large. They always say, somebody escaped prison and he's at large. Go get him. You know where he's at large. I looked it up. I Googled the word large. I said, is there a town named Large? There is no town. They can't find him because there is no town. It's a joke. They weren't at large. They weren't missing is what I'm trying to say. They didn't hid for the hills. They aren't hiding in a cave. No. The people come in the verse 25, and they said that, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people. They weren't hiding from nobody. Out of prison, they were in the temple. Go get them. So they did. They went and gathered them up, and they brought them for an inquiry. What's going on? You didn't obey us, they're telling them. And now comes the good part. I ain't saying this is a second sermon, because this was a while later, but we're going to see it as Peter again. Verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. God told us to preach. He gave us the Spirit. The Spirit's telling us to preach. As Alistair Begg once said, you could shove me in a 55-gallon drum and I'll preach out the bunghole, because I was sent to preach the word of God. And I always remember that. Peter was sent to preach now, and he was going to preach. And then verse 30. And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom who slew? Ye. We got the foundation there. Ye slew. You guys slew him. Nothing's changed. And hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted to his right hand to be the prince and savior, and to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom he gave us, whom Christ hath given to them that obey him. It's the whole gospel. Everything he told at the very first sermon, he condensed it into fewer words, but it's all there. You sinned. God raised Christ from the dead. He's in charge. You're not. He's got promises for you in repentance and forgiveness of sins, and you receive the Holy Spirit. It's all there. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. There we go. It's being set up, right? It's working. The formula's working. The method's working. And took counsel to slay them. Mm-hmm. What happened? This is days later. It ain't working. What's going on? Same words, same message. They took counsel to slay him. Are they in charge? Is Peter in charge? No. Christ is the one who changes the heart. Christ is the one. We do the work. We do the preaching. And we expose the sin. I don't want to do that. I don't want to tell people who I know are sinning, and I know they don't want to hear it. I don't want to say, you need to stop it. I work with them every day. And I'm reluctant in that. But the Bible says, the first sermon said, you got to tell them. And they might not like it. These guys didn't like it. You think Peter knew that they weren't going to like this? I think he did. I think he knew doggone well they weren't going to like this. And he said it anyways. And they took counsel to slay them. He says to give repentance, forgiveness of sins, which you need. He could have added that, which you need. The Holy Ghost be poured out on them that obey. All is there, same formula, same results. Not quite. They were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Only Christ can change a heart. It's his part. Christ grants repentance. That's what he does. We repent, but he's the one that opens the heart. The two on the road to Emmaus, they did not see him until he opened their eyes. Lazarus was doing nothing in that grave till Christ said, Lazarus, get up. He wasn't getting up on his own. It was when God calls, it's in God's timing. I can't answer that. I can't say when it is. I don't understand it. If you do the same thing, it should have the same result on that day, but it doesn't. The predestinationists, those who believe in predestination, would say, well, these men's hearts are too hard. They're not in the book. They're not on the list. They're not the chosen. There's no hope for them. I don't buy that. Saul, if we wouldn't have had the rest of the story, if we would have heard about Saul standing there watching Stephen being stoned and approving it, and if we would watch Saul go and terrorize the Christian neighborhoods, dragging people off to prison, and that story would have ended, what would we think of Saul today? We would think, well, he's in hell burning. Is that true? These Pharisees that sought to kill these guys, we don't hear the rest of the story. They might have been in the church a month later, a week. We don't know. Remember what John said, if we wrote down everything that happened, we wouldn't have enough books to contain it all. I have hope to see these guys someday. I don't know. Maybe not. But I believe that because their hearts were pricked, the Holy Spirit was working on them the same as he did Saul, the same as he did. It's the same word, your hearts. It's the Holy Spirit. Didn't the Holy Spirit pour it out to convict the world of sin? But we know the rest. We don't know the rest of the story, and I can't say that these guys were never saved. There's an old saying, every dog has its day. And I looked it up to make sure I was right, but it's basically saying, every day something's going to go good for you. It's going to go well for you. What's the Bible say? His mercies are new every morning. Okay? Today is a day of salvation. And whatever message you're hearing that day, and this is what I want you to hear. If you're hearing the Word of God, or you're reading the Word of God on your own, and you're cut to the heart, know this, it's God working. It's God working. Mm-hmm. And know this, he calls you to repent and to turn, not to stand fast as these guys did. We're going to kill you for this. We hate this, what you're saying. They weren't doing what God calls them to do. And all I can say is repent. Repent when you're feeling that. To know that they stood this day, did they stand the next time? We know that when Saul fell off that donkey, whatever he was riding, fell on the ground, and Christ said, is it hard to kick against the pricks? He'd been going through it. It had been his heart was heavy on him for a long time. This wasn't something that happened this day. When he watched Stephen being stoned, he knew something in here was hitting him. We shouldn't be doing this. But he fought against it. He fought against it. Why? Pride. This is what I'm about. You can't change me. And we fight it and we fight it, but God's cutting our hearts all the time. Just repent. Just repent. Stop it. He'll answer that, I believe. I believe. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There was a... I was going to tell this to the kids, and I forgot, so I'll say it now. And I'll read it, but we're also going to hear it, because this song has really touched my heart. And it was a verse, and it said, why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.